Hello there, my friend. I'm glad you made it again today. You are listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I am your host for today, Dumisani Fune. There's lots that I want to share with you today. One thing that saddens me, I look around and I hear the statistics and see how many families are breaking up and falling apart. It's terrible. So we're going to look at ways you can safeguard your family and have a meaningful family experience. And beyond having a meaningful family experience, we're also going to look at ways that you can be healthy and stay healthy. And then we're going to hear words of encouragement from Pastor Ding. Wow, that is so much for you, because I want you to be blessed. So right now, it's time for Practical Family. Welcome to Practical Family, the part of the show where we look at ways you can make your family more meaningful and your experience here much more fulfilling. Last time we looked at the biblical concept of family, and we still have Dr. Gwala with us. Welcome, Dr. Gwala.
Thank you.
Now, in continuing our study on family, what will we be looking at today?
Today, we will be building on what we said last time. We're looking at the family, we're looking at who instituted a family, and we're looking at challenges that are facing marriages today. Maybe let's start with who instituted a family. As it has been previously discussed, there has not been any community that came up with the idea of marriage. There's no culture that can own marriage. There's no worldview that can claim to be the custodian of a family. The family was instituted by God. And because He instituted it, He gave guidelines as to how people should live in a family relationship. Therefore, that is a very important point. It's something that comes from God. God gives guidelines, and God ultimately is responsible for the welfare of our families.
So to make sure I understand you correctly, Dr. Gwala, you're saying that there is no one culture on this planet that can say they came up with the idea of a family.
Quite correct.
And there is no correct model of family that any culture can give us.
Quite correct.
I find that interesting, because it seems many of, especially when I look at weddings themselves, many of them seem to be following the same mold, if you will, as if someone has said that this is how people should start their families, by getting married, by, you know, marching down the aisle, by having organ music, by having, you know, a Bible boy, a flower girl. And so that has almost made me feel like that whoever came up with that, it almost seems they came up with this whole notion of family.
Yeah, I think many people can be misled by that. Marriage is not wedding. Mm-hmm. There is a big difference between marriage and wedding. Marriage, cultures and communities have a way of celebrating weddings. But marriage is celebrated in the way God wanted it to be celebrated. Therefore, there is a difference. Now, marriage is commitment. It's a covenant. It's built on trust. It's built on understanding. While a wedding, it's a process that leads you to that commitment. Therefore, a process any other person can have his or her own process to arrive at what God wants. But what is important is that when we talk about marriage, we talk about something that God instituted, not anyone.
Okay. So God rightly is the owner of this whole notion that we have of family. Now, Dr. Kwal, you know, I've had someone tell me that when God instituted family, he wanted us to sort of have an idea on this earth what heaven would be like through our experience in the family.
I think I would agree with that person. Look, everything that has to do with heaven, it is always referred to, or a reference is made to marriage. We talk about second coming of Christ, and we say he is the bride, and we are the groom. Mm-hmm. Therefore, that's a marriage concept. We talk about a church as a woman. That's a marriage concept. Therefore, you will discover that marriage concept, God uses it because our marriages are supposed to be small heavens. Therefore, if we are enjoying heaven here, then we should look forward to a bigger heaven. That's why there is a correlation between our homes, our families, and heaven up there.
Wow. Now, you said that God himself instituted this whole notion of marriage. I keep repeating that because I just find it interesting how we all seem to have this one-sided view and idea of what, you know, the family should be. And I wonder, how did that one idea sort of become so prominent?
Which idea are you talking about now?
Well, I'm referring to typically when you think of family, right? You picture a man, mm-hmm. a woman, and mm-hmm. They typically have two children, mm-hmm. a son and daughter, mm-hmm. and they seem to be, they're so happy, you know, they're smiling, mm-hmm. and everything looks rosy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is, you go to pick up any book and you look at family, that's, mm-hmm. you know, what you'd see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what I find, what really bugs me is that when I look at, around me and I see the reality, you know, mm-hmm. I don't see those same smiles I see in the pictures. Mm-hmm. I don't see that togetherness. I don't mm-hmm. see that happiness. So I'm wondering why this one ideal is being thrown in our faces when it seems the reality is different. It almost seems as if this whole notion of happiness in a marriage doesn't really exist.
I expected that question. I think the first thing that we need to understand is that marriage outside the context of God, it's hell. Mm. No one will ever enjoy marriage without enjoying the relationship with God. Therefore, a relationship with God and a relationship with your spouse are actually connected. And when you break one of them, the other one is affected. That's why we see so many challenges that are facing marriages today. And I think we are going to discuss these challenges, and then we'll share with you what the world is going through and probably what needs to be done to go back to where God originally wanted us to be at.
Right. Unfortunately, Dr. Gwala, we are out of time. But just to make sure that I've understood you correctly, marriage was instituted by God. There is no culture on earth that can claim they invented marriage. And for you to really have that fulfilling experience in your marriage, you need to know God. He designed it, so he knows how it should be used and how it should be taken care of. So if you're wondering why your family experience is not pleasant, then maybe you need to consider your relationship with God.
That's quite correct.
Thank you for your time, Dr. Gwala.
Thank you.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Practical Living. That was an interview I did with Dr. Gwala talking about going back to the biblical definition of family. How is family viewed where you're from? What are your takes on it? Why do you think things are falling apart in this day and age? I want you to write and share that with us, and we'll share that with the rest of those that listen to Practical Living. Later on in the program, I will give you an address that you can use to write into us. But right now, let us switch and talk about our health. Coming up next is Practical Health, and we will be hearing from Tatenda as she shares with us what health is about and ways to being healthy. I hope you enjoy it.
Ways to health and happiness. Your wonderful body. How many parts are there to your body? Have you ever counted them? You have a heart. You couldn't do without it, for you would just drop dead if it stopped beating. You have lungs, and you have a brain to direct all the activities of your body. You have organs of hearing in your ears and organs of sight in your eyes. You have a tongue for speaking and tasting, teeth for eating, and a nose for smelling. You have a stomach and intestines, liver and pancreas, kidneys and bladder, all neatly packed inside your body. You have muscles and nerves and bones, and we could go on for a long time naming all the parts for our wonderful bodies. We are handicapped without all our parts. If we lose even one finger, we are greatly hampered. Each part of the body depends so much upon the other parts. Your body is wonderful, more wonderful than a radio or a television set. Your body is more complicated than a motor car or a watch. Does your watch or radio repair itself when it gets broken or when it wears out? Can a motor car grow bigger or have children? No, you say? Of course no machine can do these things. God made your body a very complex structure. Only God can create something which is able to grow, to repair itself, and to reproduce itself in children. When you slash yourself accidentally with a knife, the flesh knits together again. When you cut your hair and nails, they grow again. Your heart pumps and your lungs breathe even when you are sleeping. All the kinds of food you eat become part of your body and like fuel make you go. Even the act of walking or being able to stand upright are wonderful. Your body is made up of millions of tiny living cells which are able to multiply as you grow and are also able to replace themselves to prevent you from wearing out. These cells form together into organs and systems. All the systems work together as a harmonious whole to give one a feeling of health and vigor. If one system is not functioning correctly, the whole body suffers and you do not feel well. Let us look at the different parts or systems of the body and see how wonderfully they are made and how they work. Okay, firstly, the skeletal system. The skeleton is made up of an intricate system of bones which are joined together to provide a support for your body as a whole, to provide protection for delicate, easily injured organs, and to permit movement. The skeletal system may be divided into three major sections. The skull. Here the bones are joined together with no movement, providing adequate protection for the brain. The trunk. Here the bones are joined together to provide limited movement in some areas, no movement in others. A protective cage is formed by part of the spine, ribs, and breastbone for the lungs and the heart. A protective wall is formed by the pelvic or hip bones to protect the bladder and womb. Running right down the backbone is a canal which completely encases the spinal cord, thus protecting it from injury. The bones of the chest are joined together in such a way that you are able to breathe freely. The bones of the spine are joined together in such a way as to provide sufficient movement for bending. The extremities, the arms and hands, legs and feet, comprise the section and are specialized in their development and jointing to provide adequate stability with full movement and usefulness. All movable joints are held together by a system of ligaments, strong fibrous bands, and tendons, and are usually covered by a thin but strong layer of tissue which provides lifetime lubrication, unlike our cars and bicycles which need to be greased and oiled at frequent intervals. All bones are held by muscles which not only stabilize them in various positions, but also initiate or start any movement that is needed, whether it be for walking, eating, breathing, or just closing your eyes. These vary in size and strength depending on the work that they have to perform. Your muscles also play an important part in giving your body an attractive appearance. The nervous system. This system is at extreme importance to you. It may be likened to a giant automatic telephone exchange, receiving and relaying messages with utmost speed and efficiency. It also has a unique power of thought. It is capable of reasoning and understanding and commanding the body to perform certain functions. The system is made up of three main parts. Firstly, the brain, which is situated in the skull, is covered by three delicate linings and flows in a cushion of fluid. Because of great delicacy and importance of the brain, it has been placed in this cushion for utmost protection and further encased in bone to prevent any direct injury. Any sport or accident causing a severe knock on the head can damage the brain to such an extent that its work may be hindered or cause loss of life. The brain is the center of all bodily function, directing movement, interpreting pain, understanding feelings, transmitting impulses, storing memories, measuring temperature and touch, and forming one's personality. It is the center that keeps every other system in the body functioning normally and under control. Every organ and section of the body has a specific point representing it in the brain. The spinal cord is the main line of communication between various centers of the body. Like the brain, it is covered with three delicate membranes or covering layers, cushioned in fluid and encased in the bony canal of the backbone for absolute protection. The spinal cord sends impulses to and from the brain to various centers of the body. The nerves might be divided into two main groups, sensory and motor. The sensory nerves are those that feel and take messages from various organs and parts of the body to the spinal cord or direct to the brain. The sensory nerves are divided up into nerves of pain, of touch, of heat, of cold, of taste, and of stretch. These in turn are grouped together in bundles to form cords. The motor nerves are those that transmit commands from the brain or spinal cord to the appropriate muscles. Thus, if one's hand happens to get into the fire, a feeling of pain is sent to the brain by the sensory nerves, and the brain sends a message by the motor nerves to the appropriate muscles to get the hand away from the fire. Without normal function of the sensory nerves, one is likely to injure himself severely without feeling pain. Paralysis will result in the case of a motor nerve failure.
You are listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. That was Tatenda telling us about our body. We'll continue that next time. So make sure that you keep listening to Practical Living so you can learn what you can do to take better care of your health. I told you that I'll give you an address that you can use to write to us and tell us about your view of family. Well, I'd also love to find out what you do to keep healthy. I haven't forgotten. I'll give you that address. Keep listening. But right now, let us hear from Pastor Ding. It's time for Practical Bible. Hello, this is Pastor Ding, and I'm glad that you're able to join us today. I want to talk about hope. Have you ever wondered what this word means? it is more than just a name. See, when you're talking about hope, it is a belief in a positive outcome. Have you ever wanted something to come out right? That's you hoping for something to be okay. The feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. Now, I'm sure everybody hopes in something, whether it's something big or something small. We all have things that we hope for. Some people will hope to pass in school. After a semester, a term of working and doing all that needs to be done, at the end of the day, you want good results. You hope. And imagine, after finishing school, when you're now out in the world, the real life, what do you hope for? You hope to get a good job. There are others who hope to find that perfect person to marry. They want to be happy. They want to start a family, to have a home, children. And so you hope for that life partner that will give you all these things. Oh, some are suffering here and there. They don't have food. They don't have good clothes. They don't know how they're going to pay their rent. So what do they hope for? They hope for money. Money that will be able to sustain their daily living. Have you ever been to a hospital or walked into a home with a sick person? The family and the person themselves hope to get better. Hope is something that we all have, wanting a positive outcome. But have you ever noticed how once in a while, some of the things that we hope for don't turn out the way we wanted them to? Oh, yeah. In fact, many times that may happen. But you see, we need to understand that there is somebody greater out there who plans things for our lives. I mean, you read in Jeremiah, if you're reading in the Bible, the book in the Old Testament called Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11. It says that, "I know the plans that I have for you." But who is this person saying that he knows the plans? This is God. God has plans for each and every single one of us. He plans for us to prosper. He plans for good things to happen in our lives. And if we just continue to trust in Him, then all these things will come to pass. You know, there's some people who live without hope. Oh, these are sad, destructive people. People who don't progress at all. Nothing good comes out because they have nothing to look forward to. They have nothing to cling to. We all need to hope in something. But who do you place your hope in? It should be in God. The Bible says that some people trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we need to trust in the name of the Lord our God, because there is no other name under heaven that is given to men by which we can be saved. So we need to call upon Jesus, knowing that He alone can help us. If you read in the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 39 and verse 7, again, this is found in the Old Testament. Psalms chapter 39 and verse 7. If you can't get to it right now, I invite you to just take a pen and paper and write them down. And when you do have the chance, go through it. Verse 7 reads, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in You." Isn't that beautiful? David is saying that, you know, there's nothing more that I can even long for or wait for. My hope is in You. You will bring it all to me in Your time, in good time. There's a songwriter that penned the words, and he said that we have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. And that's what I want each and every single one of you to hope for, the coming of Jesus. He will come again one day. Just keep hoping and believing. I know there's this little baby that was born. Her mother unfortunately died because of complications during the birth. But the sister and the rest of the friends around decided that they would name that child Hope. And as that baby grows, that baby will always have this hope to meet the mother again when Jesus comes. May you place your hope in something great, something solid, something true. Place your hope in Jesus.
For those of you that are just joining us, that was Pastor Ding encouraging us, reminding us that it's important we place our hope in something worthwhile, something solid. Now, I do not want to be called a liar. I did promise you something, didn't I? Here goes. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa. The postal code is 7129. I'll repeat that. Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa, postal code 7129. If you have access to internet, you can email us using awr@sidmedia.org or visit our Facebook page. On Facebook, look for Practical Living and leave your comments there. But I want to find out from you how you understand family and what you do to keep healthy. Sadly, guys, I need to go. Don't forget, right here on Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow, through God's help, will keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless you.